Well, good morning. Welcome to all of you who are sitting here, which is just a few. We are in strange times, and strange times call for some strange things. And although this isn't that strange, but we are still the church and we're still together. And so we are worshiping today. It may look a little different, and it does look a little different, but we are here. We're going to hear God's word and celebrate the unity that we do have in spite of what looks like isolation, what looks like separateness, what looks like disunity. We know the truth and what God sees, and God sees his people, and we are his people. So as we get going in this different format, as we look at things, we have a couple of announcements, and Sherry will let us know a couple of things as we move forward here.
Good morning, and we are glad to be with you. If it's in versus audio versus in person, we are still together in the spirit. We are in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak, and our services have been suspended for a few Sundays. We will keep in touch with the congregation as far as when we will resume. We trust the Lord with that. The good news is the pastor's messages are available on audio through our website so that we can still be in touch. We do want to support the continued distancing from each other, but I think it's important during these times to email or call each other so that people don't feel alone. I think that that could be a real attack by the enemy if people start to feel alone. So know that while we're distant, we are still united in our purpose, and we want to continue to present that to the world. Just as far as church news goes, we do still have some birthdays. Life goes on, and while plans for birthdays have significantly changed, they are still happening. So James will have a birthday on March 25th. He turned 16 this year, and Pastor will have his birthday on March 29th. So we wish you both a happy birthday.
It's interesting to be together like this in these challenging times that we are faced. Let's start off and go to the Lord in prayer. Our great God, thank you for this day, for a day that we are seeing things differently and we are worshiping differently today. But in all of this, we know that you are God and we lift your name up today. We know that your church is your church. We know that your people are still your people and that nothing can break that bond that we have with each other and with you. And so while we may do things a bit differently, Lord, we thank you that you are still with us. We thank you that your spirit is still with us and in us and working, Lord. Oh God, help us in this time. Lord, we pray that you would heal and work to eradicate this virus, this COVID-19 that's plaguing our world. Oh God, give us strength. Lord, give us resiliency. Lord, I pray that you especially protect those who are vulnerable to this sickness. Lord, help us to be wise in the things we do and say. Lord God, I pray against any misinformation that is out there concerning the virus. And Lord, may you be honored in all these things. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray that your word would go out. I pray that your church would rise up, even in this time, and to help and minister, even though it may look differently. Give us your eyes in these things. God, we thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you are still on the throne. And we honor you today, and we are grateful. Bless us, Lord. Help us to grow in you in these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can turn your Bible to Acts chapter 8 as we continue in this amazing narrative of the beginnings of the church. We just came off of the death of Stephen, and starting in verse 8 then, we read, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there's much joy in that city. Well, as we've been mentioning already here this morning, and is evidenced by the fact that you are, if you're hearing this, you're probably listening to it, recording of it. This is a unique time in our lives. Our nation has never really faced anything like this, in this way. It's a interesting thing for the church, I think, to respond in this time. I would encourage you to keep these things in mind as you go through your lives now. Be wise. Keep the distance. Stay in when you can. But don't forget those around you who are still needing a word or a helping hand. As Sherry mentioned, call, text, email, write a letter. My daughter got a letter this week from a friend and she wrote one back. Imagine that, an actual handwritten letter to encourage. A little note, it'd be wonderful to stay in touch. We have great resources available to us in social media and technology that we can still maintain connection in spite of isolation. As we look forward in these next few weeks with our time together here, we will see what happens. Looks like it could be several weeks possibly where we are not going to be able to physically meet together. And so we will continue to think about how we can stay connected. Who knows? Maybe we'll try to do video or something. We'll keep it in mind. But let's stay together in all these things. It's a great challenge for the church, for ministry. What's going to look like now? Even if it's just for a few weeks, what is going to be? How is faith still lived out in times like this? How do we face isolation in regards to our faith? And how does the church respond? In Acts chapter 8 today, we see a connection here of how we respond to challenges, crises. The narrative here moves from Stephen being killed to a mob furious and stoning him to what is, I would call it, a great persecution. You see in verse 1 of chapter 8 here, it says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered." After this killing, it seems then that those who were against Christianity, those who were wanting to put this down, and we've seen all through this book of Acts, this attempt by the leaders, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, their desire to put down this thing with Jesus, to put down these people who follow Christ and the teachings of him, and we're seeing over and over how they were not able to, despite what they would try to do and putting apostles in prison and ordering them to not speak. They gathered more and more and more, and they were built up more and more and more. They couldn't hold it down. And it seems like then with this incident with Stephen that it was a spark, an opportunity that they had to want to finally crush this thing, to get rid of it. They said, enough is enough. Let's deal with it now. And they had the energy and they had the fervor behind it. Again, I was like a mob mentality. They said, okay, let's get rid of it. Let's go now. And I'm just picturing going through the streets. We have this picture of Saul house to house and dragging people. I don't think the narrative here in the few sentences gives a clear picture of how terrifying it would be. And they were scattered, dragging men and women to prison. Imagine now if someone burst through our door and hauled me off. That's what it was like. A great persecution. And for the people involved, this was a wonderful time. They're finally seeing, yes, we can stop this thing now in its tracks. And then in this great persecution, then we see this great scattering. All were scattered except the apostles. So all these great multitudes. And that's, you know, that's, and there were a lot. And that's the thing. If you look back in chapter 5, it spoke of multitudes of people coming into the church. The great fear of God in the city and the respect that people had for him. And there's all these people. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. They have to leave. They're terrified. I'm imagining just families just quickly packing up stuff and hitting the road. Going who knows where. Just getting away. Fearing for their lives. this community that has been built up has been broken. There's fear. There's isolation. There's a lack of leadership. All of a sudden, this cohesive community with leaders and structure and a building up has been shattered. And it was a permanent dislocation. It's not like they were, as we are now, hopefully weeks and we can come back. These are people uprooting their lives and going because of this great persecution. It's a dark time. Very frustrating. I can imagine particularly the leaders, the apostles, just thinking, well, here we go again. They've seen this, right? This is not new to them. They were following Jesus and they killed him. But that should have been a bell of hope to them. I hope, and maybe I think they eventually would recognize that, wait a minute, we thought it was bad when they killed Jesus. But now we see that was God's plan all along. And in fact, after this great persecution and this great scattering, we have a great expansion. Things were looking bad, dark, evil, fierce. The opposing Jewish leaders had to be dancing with glee, happy at finally being able to break this sect, this blasphemous Jesus. In the midst of all this suffering, this displacement, the fears of the future, they remained faithful to the Lord. And the key here is verse 4. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the book of Acts. Look at verse 4 of chapter 8. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They couldn't stop it. In fact, the exact opposite of what they wanted to happen is happening here. These people who were scattered, instead of just holding up and saying, forget it, this isn't worth it. Yes, they had to leave. They were fearful. It was a terrible time. It was dark. I imagine they were anxious. I imagine they were fearful. I imagine they had questions about how they're going to live. Where are they going to live? How are they going to eat? How are they going to pay their bills? Are their children going to be okay? They still had those questions. And here they said, in their scattering, they continued to preach the word. They remained faithful, and they remained faithful to the mission. Why? Why did they do that? How could this be? Because it's true. That's why. It's not like Jesus didn't rise from the dead now because of this. It's not like the Spirit is not still there in power inside of them. No, nothing's changed. Really. It's the same. That same power, the same encouragement, the same Lord, the same Savior, the same faith. It's still the same. And when a person's heart is really, truly changed, the circumstance around them matters not. It doesn't matter. And we've seen that evidence over and over and over again through church history. Circumstances change. Leaders change. Governments change. Countries change. And Jesus stays the same. Fear does not negate faith. Hear that, please. Fear does not negate faith. And for example, we have Philip. Now, we were introduced to Philip back in chapter 6. He was one of the ones who was chosen as a deacon, along with Stephen and others, to help organize a church, his first attempt at getting some structure to things. So we see him as a man of God, and he was a Hellenist, a Greek-speaking Jew. So even there, remember, we talked about several weeks ago how even here we're starting to see this expansion, this widening of the net, of seeing God's true plan unfold. Same mission, same power, same result. Because look what Peter did. Look what's happening. He came, he preached the word, the same power that was in him for miracles, demons left, and the people respected it. They saw it, they responded, and were happy about it. We're seeing that this new way of Christianity, led by Jesus, we're seeing that it's unfolding as God has intended it to be. From Abraham to Jesus, God chose to move and reveal himself through these Jews, but now we're seeing his intention all along was not to limit it to this small little circle, this small little people. This week in our Bible reading time in our family, we've been looking at Genesis, and we've seen the blessing of Abraham and how he said, you will be a blessing to all the nations. That's what we're seeing here. And don't miss out what's happening now. So the word was expanded to the Greek-speaking Jews, and now Philip is expanded to Samaria. The Samaritans were this group of people, half Jew, half Gentile, really despised, very much despised. Jews hated them, thought they were disgusting. They worshiped the same God. They followed Jewish traditions, but were completely excluded by Jews. You hear about how people, if they're traveling, would travel days out of the way to avoid Samaria. That's why it was so shocking to disciples when Jesus was traveling and decided to go right through Samaria. Why it was so shocking when he talked to a Samaritan woman, of all things, despised and hated, and only part Jew. But now we're seeing God's word expand out a little more. Okay, it's not just the Jews. It's not just this little narrow people. No, we'll get out to these halves, half and halves here even. And we're going to see more later how that goes on and on. But the same mandate is given. Go. Go to them. Don't bring these people in to turn them into Jews. Don't go and gather them up so they become Jews. No, go to them. Bring the gospel to them. Expand to them. I think as we look at it in hindsight, that this persecution, this scattering was the kick in the pants that the church needed at this time. It's exactly what they needed. Now, we don't know, but human nature, as we do know it, tends to want things to stay the same, to be comfortable, to stay within certain bounds, to follow certain traditions, and we like that. And I imagine that the apostles in these new church felt the same. They're saying, this is a good thing. We got going here. We're seeing people come to Christ. We're seeing this church expanded. We were even doing so well, we had to organize. We had to get deacons and organize things so that the word can keep going forward. But God's intention was never to isolate Christianity to this little sect. The persecution did exactly what God wanted to be done. And the principle that we see here is one that God has shown over and over again, that what men intend for evil, God intends for good. Right? That was what Joseph said when he was talked to his brothers, when they sold him to slavery and he went to prison. God intended for good. And over and over and over again, God shows his faithfulness in these hard things. Right up to Jesus. He died because he had to die. Now, it was still an evil thing, a terrible act, and yet God intended it for good. And this persecution was exactly the same thing. The Pharisees, the leaders, intended to squash Christianity. They wanted to eliminate it. They wanted to just put it down and be done with it. And in so doing, enable the exact opposite to happen. A better strategy probably would have been to just let it sit there and fold in on itself. But God said, no, we are going to move forward. And this is how we're going to do it. As we look at this short little story here, things we want to keep in mind. One, whatever your circumstances are, whatever our circumstances are as a church and as people, whatever they may be, seek to be faithful and bold and share the gospel. That's what it's about. Now, we have a unique challenge now, don't we? COVID-19, isolation, social distancing. How does the church respond to this? Is Satan smiling, saying, aha, now I got you. You can't share the gospel. You can't spread the church now because you can't get within 6 feet of each other. Ha! No, that's never the case. And it's not the case because, one, God is not surprised by the coronavirus. God is in control of these things. He knows what's going on. And we are still God's people. Again, remember, it's the same faith, the same God, the same Holy Spirit. Jesus is still risen from the dead. And it's still good news. And so we, in different ways, seek to spread this gospel. The only question is, okay, how are we going to do it now? It may look different. It may be on social media. It may be in letters. It may be on the phone. But we still have opportunity to minister. Life is still going on out there, folks. All right? There are people who are sick, not with the COVID-19. All right? Cancer is still a thing. Okay? Families are still struggling. Not because of COVID-19, but because of brokenness in their home, because of their jobs. In fact, all the more now. We have great opportunity here to be salt and light in our world. It just looks different. But in whatever the circumstances are, we spread the gospel, however we may do it. The gospel is still the same. Now again, it may be through different ways, but we will move forward. We will move forward. Another interesting thing that comes out of this that I think we need to make sure we are aware of is the rise, the development, the going out of the next generation of leaders. It's hard for a generation to let go of things. in a company, or a CEO, or a church, or a pastor who's been a long time, or whatever it is, it's so important for the next generation to move forward. And here, it just kind of forced the issue, didn't it? Philip is the second generation now. And we're going to see next week and going forward to, there are some, maybe some doubts there, a little bit of a checking in on Philip. But at some point, they had to let go. They said, okay, go. You know, they didn't say, hey, Philip, you're not ready. Maybe you should just not preach, and we'll try to get there when we can. He said, let him go. Go. That's your mandate. Jesus gave it to us. And they went and checked on it and had to, you know, do a few things we'll see next week. But it's so important for those of us, I'm looking at myself now, coming up on the big 5-4, to be willing and even desire to see the next generation coming up to go forward with the gospel. And it's going to look different. But we have to trust God in these things and to seek the energy and the creativity that comes up with the next generation. And that's what happened with Philip. We saw when they chose him that he was a godly man. They saw the good things in him. And at some point, you just have to say, you know what? Go. Go. I think we have a good opportunity with things like this isolation and the separate from each other and just the challenge that have come up for those who may be have not seen themselves or not as not being ready to minister or things like that, that you know what? Hey, it's your time. Kids, it's your time. Okay? It's your time. If you're in fifth grade or sixth grade or ninth grade or 10th grade, 11th, whatever it is, it's your time. Okay? Go. Hopefully, those of us who have a little longer in the tooth and been around a while will help you and steer you. And, you know, you can ask us things, but it's your time. Go and bring the gospel to those who need it. At the end of the day, when we see what's going on here, we come back to that ever-present point of Christianity. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is Christ. What's the answer? What is the solution? It's Jesus. I know it's trite, sounds trite, it's Sunday school, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. Ultimately, yes, we think about strategies and what we have to do. We think about different ways to minister. We think of ways to stay healthy and deal with stuff. But the answer to our fears, to suffering, to anxiety, to perseverance, to our health, spiritual and physical, it's Jesus. And that is the message we have to put forward. Yes, we take care of folks and we give physical things and the stuff we need, toilet paper, whatever it is. But even then, in the back of the heartbeat, the baseline of it all is Christ. And that's the challenge we have, that in our interactions on social media, as we counter falsehoods on that, and I encourage you to do that. If you see something that's just ridiculous, say, hey, folks, this is dumb. Don't listen to this. And by the way, Jesus is still on the throne. By the way, Jesus is there. Somehow we have to bring it back and keep pointing people to Jesus. It may not be in a bunch of people sitting here in pews in front of me right now. It might be in a tweet or a snap or a whatever else you call it, TikTok or whatever. I have no idea. It's about Jesus moving forward. And we see that here, that a great persecution, a great crisis, a scattering, and a thought that this is going to put it all down, the exact opposite is happening. And I believe in all my heart that even something like COVID-19, God is going to move forward. He just gives a new opportunity to point to Jesus in these things. And I encourage us to do that as we come together in this crisis. Well, this has been interesting. I thank you who are here for your faces anyway, so I'm not talking to nobody. I thank you who are listening to this and encourage you, if you have any feedback, any issues, a need, the church is still here. Call, text. We have a Facebook page. Let's stay connected and stay with each other for the glory of God in Christ and all these things. Amen. Yes, let's pray. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this crisis. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have anew to respond and point people to you in these things. Lord, you are not surprised, and you are in control. Help us, Lord, to point people to Christ. Show us the ways to do it. Show us, God, by your Spirit, the opportunities that you have that are unique, that maybe we would never had any other time. Lord, we know that times of crisis and problems and fear drive people to you. And so, Lord, we are grateful to be your people in this time. We pray for your presence and your guidance, knowing that you will give us both. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.